It's Morning Edition on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Michael Leland, in for Clay Masters. A new legislative session begins on January 13th. Governor Kim Reynolds hasn't laid out specific policy priorities yet. IPR's Clay Masters talks with our state government reporter Katarina Sestarik about the upcoming session.
Katarina, you had a chance to sit down with Republican Governor Kim Reynolds and ask her about the upcoming legislative session. Is she bringing any new priorities to lawmakers in 2020?
Reynolds has made it clear that she really wants to focus on helping people who are leaving prison successfully re-enter the community. And she appointed a criminal justice reform committee to make recommendations. And the governor says that she likes all of these recommendations that they've made, but she still doesn't know exactly what she's going to bring to lawmakers. I asked her about one of the specific recommendations, which was to enact a ban the box law for public employers. It's something the state already does in practice, but this would expand it to local governments.
I definitely am willing to take a look at that. So we said we led by example, but that would be a way that if we codify it, because right now it's not codified, and then take a look at that additional language, that would give them an opportunity to utilize the language that we put in place kind of as a model that other local governments could follow.
Last session, Reynolds wanted the legislature to pass a constitutional amendment that would automatically restore voting rights to people with felony convictions. Any progress you see moving forward?
So the House passed it last session, and now Reynolds has to convince Senate Republicans to get on board. And I asked her if she's made any progress on that.
I don't know if we're there yet, but we're going to continue to work on it. It's going to be a priority of mine next legislative session. I believe that we need a permanent solution. The going back and forth, I don't think helps anybody. It adds to the confusion. So we're going to focus on working with them and getting the language the clean amendment. And then if there's some exemptions, which I know there will be, I'm in favor of that as well. Then we can do that through statutorily. And so we need to decide what that looks like.
All right. Clean amendment. What does the governor mean by a clean amendment?
She means that she wants the language that goes into the Constitution to just say that Iowans can get their voting rights restored after they complete their sentence, meaning prison, probation, and parole. Senate Republicans were wary of that. They wanted to add more restrictions. They don't want people who have committed the most violent crimes to get their voting rights restored. So Reynolds said she's okay with restrictions like that, but she wants to put that in a separate bill. And it's not clear yet if Senate Republicans have agreed to that. And then when we also hear her talk about a permanent solution, that's the reason she gives for not taking executive action to restore voting rights immediately. That's something that advocates and Democrats are calling for, especially when we see all of these problems in Iowa's system for tracking who's allowed to vote.
Okay, do we know why she's prioritizing criminal justice reform and felon voting rights?
At least part of the reason that she's focusing on these things is her personal experience. Reynolds has been pretty open about her struggle with alcoholism and her two drunk driving convictions from 20 years ago.
I've hit bottom, and I've seen that if you have the right support system, a family, you know, people that care, you can turn your life around and things can be so much better. And I'm not afraid to tell that story. When I was at Mitchellville again, I shared my story with the individuals that were there. And I just, you know, you have to believe in yourself. You have to want to. That's the number one key. If you don't want to, it's not going to happen. But you also have to believe in yourself, and you have to believe that there's hope.
I want to move now to something that we've been hearing a lot about in the news lately, something that the Des Moines Register first broke. This federal investigation into two state-run facilities for people with disabilities. There have been ongoing issues at other state health institutions. Does Reynolds plan to work with lawmakers to do something about this?
I asked the governor if she thinks that lawmakers need to put more funding into these facilities. Some Democrats are saying that that's a big problem, that, you know, they're underfunded and they're understaffed. And this is what she said.
We're in fact-finding mode, discovery, and as we work through that process, Director Garcia is putting together an external team to come in and take a look at all of the policies and procedures and make recommendations to us on what we need to do moving forward. We're hoping to start that at the first of the year.
And Reynolds says that they already decided the state needs to hire a person who's focused only on oversight of the residential institutions under the Department of Human Services. That used to be part of just an overarching mental health job.
Okay. In the past two legislative sessions, lawmakers have directed regional systems to develop new mental health services for adults and children. Does the governor have any plans to improve the funding situation for mental health?
Mental health services are paid for by property taxes right now, and lawmakers all say that they want to make sure mental health has a sustainable funding source going into the future. There doesn't seem to be any agreement on how to do that right now. And Reynolds has said that she thinks local governments should still have a role in funding this through property taxes. And so I asked her if she thinks that the state needs to add to that.
So the state already has quite a bit of skin in the game, about $102 million. I'm not saying that we shouldn't put more. I'm sure we still do need to add some additional revenue to the system, but we need to look at that holistically, find out where the gaps are and where we can be most impactful.
Okay, the governor is always one to talk about taxes. She always has something that she wants to get done with taxes. Is she saying anything new this legislative session about taxes?
There's a lot of moving parts with what I've been hearing on taxes, with what Republican leaders and Reynolds are saying about this. There's some talk of raising the sales tax to fund water quality and recreation, but Reynolds says that it would have to be part of an overall tax cut in some other areas. Business and taxpayer interest groups want the state to cut income taxes faster by removing these revenue thresholds that state revenue will have to meet in future years in order for all of the 2018 tax cuts to be implemented. And here's what Reynolds said about speeding that up.
It's harder than it appears to expedite the triggers or to take away some components of it. But it's just I have to make sure in the out years, again, that it's sustainable. And, you know, the revenue is looking up. REC just meant they increased the revenue. We're at 2.9% right now. So that's really good news. But we still have a lot of economic headwinds ahead of us.
All right. On to something Senate Republicans have been pushing for. They call welfare reform. They want to add eligibility requirements for food and health care assistance programs. They say partly as a way to boost the state's workforce. Is the governor on board with that?
She says she's willing to take a look at those proposals, but it's still not really clear where she stands on it. First, she was talking about her Future Ready Iowa programs that help with community college tuition as a way to get people into the workforce. And she talks about helping more with childcare costs to help with workforce issues. And then she said this.
The truth of the matter is, I can't pay able-bodied adults to stay home anymore. We have jobs looking for people. It is one of the biggest barriers to economic development, and it really is about them, too. There is dignity in work and being able to take care of yourself and your family.
And critics of these policies will say that most people who get government assistance are already working and still can't afford necessities. Some of these things, like Medicaid work requirements, have been struck down by courts in other states.
Katarina Sestaric, IPR State Government Reporter, thank you.
Thanks, Clay.